Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lepondre looking to get close side of Font. Lepondre away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to another Elm Park Royal post-match podcast in association with Blue Collar Street Food. Finally, a win to talk about just as we go into the international break. I'm joined by Matt Lansley. How are you, Matt?
Oh, a bit croaky this morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, I had a few cups of tea just to make sure that I wasn't, you know, gonna drown on for ages, which I am now doing. And I'm joined by Alex as well. How are you, Alex?
I'm quite jealous, Matt, that you get one post-match podcast and it's a win straight away.
Well, I don't want to say it's someone's fault, Alex, but you did host 4 consecutive losses.
I know. I think I've been banned.
Yeah, well, it's good that you're off it for this one anyway. So, yes, a win and a fun win. But pre-match, all the talk was actually about Paunovic and how secure his job was. Was that fair, Matt?
I mean, it made for an interesting journey up, I have to say. When the news broke, I don't think me and Alex could quite not believe it, because I don't think you can never not believe anything now with Reading FC and what comes out of, you know, what the owners are planning to do, etc. But I mean, if he would have been sacked, I mean, it would just, yeah, it's what more can you want from him right now? You know, he's got a team that's riddled with injuries. Yes, some people might say, oh well, the manager, he's doing something wrong in training, the physios, blah blah blah, but the reality is he's had, you know, 10 players out for months now, seemingly. You know, what more can he do? The fact that we've got 22 points is pretty damn good, I think. You know, it would have been such a baffling decision, because you just think, why are they doing this, and what are they hoping for? What's the objective of sacking him?
Yeah, and I think, as you say, like, changing manager doesn't bring back all those injured players. Whoever comes in would have a pretty horrible time of it. Alex, were your feelings much the same, that it was, you know, not surprising, but also a little bit not understandable?
Yeah, it's a little bit surprising, but also not really that surprising at the same time, I guess, right? If you lose 5 games in a row, there's always going to be some talk about whether you're suitable to continue in the job, no matter what the context, I guess. And I think that's, you know, yesterday's result kind of hopefully will put some silence to those rumours for a little bit, and maybe we'll have a bit more stability for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, because it's actually quite interesting that it wasn't that long ago that we were having this same discussion pre-first international break, and it seems like Paunovic at the minute, if nothing else, is winning the games that he needs to stay in a job. So, you know, good on him. Good on him. The other chat pre-match was about Moore and Ajaria and whether they would be fit. Apparently, they were limping down the tunnel at Millwall, and there were some rumours that they wouldn't start. They thankfully were still in the team, because I do not know who would have replaced them and what system we would have ended up playing. It would have been, who knows what it would have been. Yeardon coming in for Ashcroft to make, you know, a completely sensible change. Matt, were you happy about the 11?
Yeah, like, I mean, when you saw the news breaking in the morning about Moore and Ajaria, I mean, again, you just looked at it and think, oh, do I really want to travel? Do I really want to go to Birmingham today? But yeah, no, to see them in the starting lineup, it was a nice relief. Yeardon as well, coming back as well after the midweek. I mean, Ashcroft, you know, did very, very well in his own right on Tuesday, sorry. But you know, you'd much rather have the head of Yeardon back in the team. So yeah, there's not really much else to choose from, like you say, in the team. So it's just as good as we could put out really, I think, right now.
And Alex, do you think that sticking with the 5-3-2, 3-5-2, 5-3-1-1, whatever you want to call it, do you think that was the right decision? And I'm trying to talk without hindsight here, going into the match.
Yeah, going into the match, I think it made sense to do it. I don't think we conceded that many chances against Millwall particularly. And it didn't feel like it was a, complete failure against Millwall or anything like that. And giving up on that after one 90-minute performance where it wasn't bad by any means. It wasn't like a roaring success either, but I think it would have been a bit of a, you know, maybe just a little bit of an admission that perhaps it was the wrong choice in the first place to change over to that against Millwall if we were just to change straight back. So I think it made sense to start with 5-3-2 yesterday, or whatever the system is meant to be.
Yeah, I think it's a 5-3-2 effectively. You could call it a 5-3-1-1, I guess, with Swift dropping off of Puskás, but you know, they're just numbers at the end of the day. And the afternoon didn't start too well, and I'm not even talking about the turnstiles and the delayed kickoff when Liam Moore gave up Reading's now, you know, usual back pass goal to Scott Hogan. God, it just wasn't very good, was it, Matt? Like, there's nothing else you can really say about it.
No, you'd barely stumbled into the ground from your pub as well. And I mean, if Omens at Birmingham was something to go by, it was a brilliant decision by Moore. Well done. But yeah, no, I was saying to Alex at the time, to be fair, like we hadn't had a comical Reading FC goal for quite some time, so we were probably due one. But I mean, it was just dire. I mean, under hit, miss hit, whatever you want to call it, in the second minute, you just can't be doing that. You know, it's just rule one, because you've just shot yourself straight in the foot. And you know, this is a team which you would have thought coming into the game, if you go behind, there's very little chance of coming back because of everything that's against the team at the moment. But yeah, it is just rule one, really. Rule one, just don't do what Moore did, but he did, unfortunately.
I mean, one thing about that is I don't really understand why we're going back to Southwood in the third minute of the game in the first place. Mm. It just didn't really make a lot of sense. We didn't need to do that particularly. And yeah, as Matt said, it isn't a very good touch from Moore in the first place, but I think it's just one of those things that happens every so often, doesn't it, to every team, that you end up with this like bizarre piece of defending or goalkeeping, which inevitably results in a, you know, very, very simple goal for your position.
Well, at the time I thought it was actually, as you kind of say, it wasn't a simple pass to play given where the ball was coming from and it was bouncing a bit. But looking back at the highlights, I think I might be being a bit kind to him, because it doesn't come particularly quickly. And I think it's one of those that you're going to get in the second minute, but when you've played maybe 80, 85, you're in the game and maybe you time that a bit better. It's unfortunate. I mean, it's still bad, but it was unfortunate in some ways. Thankfully, it didn't affect us too much, because Birmingham, they didn't really have much else, Alex. They kind of, I mean, if you watch the kind of condensed highlights of this match, not a lot happens in the first half.
No, and I mean, we were watching the stadium yesterday, and I said to Matt after about half an hour that they weren't very good, Birmingham. I mean, that's not to say Reading were world beaters yesterday in the first half, but Birmingham didn't really create anything at all, despite the fact that Reading were playing quite poorly. There was a lot of misplaced passes from both sides, and I don't really think there wasn't really any major chances from the first half except for the goal. Both sides just struggled really to get anything going. I'd say perhaps Reading, after maybe 20-25 minutes, controlled the ball a bit more, but neither team really created any like good opportunities at all.
Yeah, and it was one of those where you go in at half time and people are obviously quite down because the scoreline's 1-0 and it's kind of all happening again. But as you say, like, take that goal out of it. And I think we were always in the game, Matt. But as Alex says, Alex, do you want to come back?
Go ahead. No, it's fine.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought we were always in the game, but not necessarily threatening, Matt.
Yeah, and to be fair as well, to add on to what Alex said as well, he kind of said it towards the end of the first half as well. If we score, we're going to win this, because it was one of those games. Birmingham were just not doing anything, and like they were looking tired, they were looking lethargic. Obviously, I know they had a few injuries of their own coming into this game as well, but it was very much like Millwall. It was very much like Millwall in the week. You know, it was a fine performance. You take away that second minute calamity by Moore, and you're probably looking at it again like, this is another fine performance. Yes, we've not done a huge amount, but Birmingham have been limited, you know, either by their own play or by the back line, whatever way you want to look at it. But yeah, it wasn't a bad performance. I just always thought we're not scoring at the moment. You know, I said to Alex, I think I was a little more pessimistic than he was at halftime, and because I just couldn't see us, scoring, because it was again, like you say, just another game where we just couldn't create anything really. And it just, you were just looking at it thinking, where's the goal coming from?
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, off the back of the last few games, that's, you know, I think everyone in that stand had virtually the same thought. But we did actually change it at half time, which is incredibly unusual. Jamari Clark came on for George Puskas, which isn't that unusual, but to give him so much time is both. And my personal thought process at that point was more that it's how unhappy they are with Puskas. That sub always, to me, says more about Puskas than it does about Clark.
I saw a tweet yesterday that actually it was supposed to be Paunovic's 70th minute sub, but obviously with the game delay, he was still working on the normal clock. So that was what was going on there, clearly.
Yeah, I didn't realise the game was delayed.
Exactly. And then and we also switched up to a 4-1-4-1. So scrapped the back five, which Alex, after 90 minutes, it might have been... after 90 minutes at Millwall, it might have been admitting defeat, but we admitted defeat after 135 minutes of using it anyway. And I think that it, like, those changes both worked, right? We can come on to Jamari Clark a bit later, but I thought that the 4-1-4-1 straight away gave us more of a threat, Alex.
Yeah, I think it gave us more of a threat. Certainly out wide, we looked far more threatening. Yeardom just was imperious in the second half. It's probably one of the best 45 minute performances I can remember from Andy Yeardom at Reading. I think going forwards, he was just brilliant. Every time he touched the ball, he looked like he was going to create a chance. I think he's very unlucky not to have scored in the second half, because he's had probably two or three chances where he's had a decent shot on goal. And at the back, we looked more solid once we went to four at the back as well. Whether that's because, you know, Liam Moore and Scott Dan are just more suited to playing in a, you know, back two centre back role, or whether Birmingham just didn't really offer that much going forwards, it's probably, you know, half of one and half of the other. But we certainly just looked more solid. I think every player really looked better in that system. Josh Laurent looked much more comfortable in a system where he was kind of given almost a defined role, I think, to sit in front of the back four. And we just looked much more threatening going forwards, because mostly because of Andy Yeardom, I think, and Jamari Clark was kind of the beneficiary of that.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, Matt, go on.
Can I just put a question out there as well? Because it's a bit of an interesting one around the formation, because obviously, we're going back a bit, but obviously under Bowen, the best formation was 4-1-4-1 under him, and seemingly the best formation we're seeing at the moment is 4-1-4-1. Do you think this Reading side is suited to a 4-1-4-1 or 4-1-4-1?
Yeah, 4-1. I mean, personally, I don't love the 4-1-4-1 just because of how, and especially under Bowen, it was incredibly defensive and kind of ground out results that maybe sometimes we didn't deserve. And also that kind of takes away a lot of last season when we weren't playing it and we were playing a 4-2-3-1 and looking quite good. Like, it's doing its job at the minute, I think. But with everyone back in the team, I don't think it would be my first choice formation. Although maybe with Lucas Joao up front, it could work even better.
The one thing about playing 4-1-4-1 at the minute is I think it appeases a lot of people who have said, why aren't we trying to adapt to the players that we have available to us? And that's been one of the major complaints about people have had about Paunovic in the last however long, 6 weeks, is we haven't changed the system. And we have, but that's been a major complaint, is that we haven't changed the system and we've been playing the same style and the same system, despite the fact that we've, lost 10, 11, 12 players. And then all of a sudden we've changed to 4-1-4-1, and it seems to have got the best out of a number of players in the team.
Well, so I find that an interesting point, because obviously when I hear that critique, a lot of that critique is actually about going forward, not defending. And I'd say it does not suit our George Puskas, who is playing as our lone striker, which I think is probably why we've seen other players given a chance there, admittedly. But we started this game with George Puskas playing as a lone striker. Although that's sort of why... this is why he's been changing formation, though, right? Like, part of the 5-3-1-1, presumably, is to try and give Puskas that other player to play around him, which we took away with the 4-1-4-1. So maybe that's why we changed to Jamari Clark at halftime as well. I mean, who knows? There are so many things to juggle with being a football manager, I guess, that sometimes you kind of lose some of them in the muddle. Should we talk about Jamari Clark, Matt?
He was quite good, wasn't he? he was relatively good that half, so yeah, we can give
that. That's it. Jamari Clark, chat done. No, what I thought was interesting is and we were talking about this just before the pod, that some of what we talk about George Puskas is like the number of touches that he's had and whatnot, and how that kind of defines how well he's played. Jamari Clark barely touched that ball and he scored two goals. It was both a good performance and a performance where he didn't do a whole lot, right?
Ultimately, as a striker, it always comes back to how many goals you score, though. And with George Puskas, because he wasn't scoring, everything comes back to what else has he done?
I agree with that, but I just think I think number of touches is probably a metric that we should put to bed for how well a striker is playing.
Yeah. If George Puskas touches the ball five times, it doesn't really matter if he scores two goals, does it? And it's the same with Clark yesterday. I don't think Clark necessarily was, I don't think he necessarily changed the game in the way he was on the ball and held the ball up and this kind of thing. But he was just in the right place at the right time when the ball was going forwards, which is ultimately what we've been missing for, pretty much since the start of the season. And that's going to be what you judge him on, not how many touches he has, as you say. I think it's probably time to forget the how well has he played metric and just, or not metric, but how well has he played and just focus on, has our striker had shots on goal? Have they scored? That's what we're looking for at the end of the day.
Well, it's interesting because Jamari Clark, he might have played minutes, but he wasn't having shots before this. He actually scores with his first championship shot. That kind of bullet header. And I know for the second goal, it is about being in the right place at the right time, Matt, but I think that's slightly reductive for that first goal because he makes quite a nice run across his man. And okay, John Swift is going to pick out, you all day. And it's a great header. It's a great goal, right?
Yeah. And I think it's one of the runs that I think we've been waiting and wanting Puskas to do for quite some time as well, because there's been a few balls that have come in like that. But I mean, the intelligence of the run is fantastic. The way he starts off on the defender's back shoulder, runs across, runs in front, gets there first, and the power of the header is just something else, really. Very few keepers are going to be saving that. The direction on it doesn't really matter. He's got it on target, and that's all you really need to do with a header like that. When it's so close. Like you say, being his, I think that was his 10th appearance as well, wasn't it? So having his first shot and going in like that, I mean, it's kind of kind of what dreams are made of for kids like that. I mean, he's had a, I was talking to Alex actually kind of before the game about Clark actually, or it might have even been at half time, because like you kind of wondered, having played 9 games prior, yes, they've all been sub appearances, would his confidence start to take a knock having not played? But given that he's, a lot of the time he's only been coming on for 5, 10, 15 minutes, how much chance he actually had really to get goals, to change games. It's obviously been a criticism of Paunovic in the past, but you know, he comes on for a half, and I mean, starting off like that, yes, the goal came at about 70 minutes, but you couldn't really ask much more of Clark in that situation. It was a great goal.
Yeah, did really well. And well, between those, his two goals, Birmingham actually have quite a good chance from Troy Deeney to go back ahead. So let's talk about that for just a quick second, where there's a ball in from, I think it's Bella on the left-hand side, who also had a very good shot of his own go just wide after cutting inside Yeardom and Holmes. Troy Deeney gets, well, Matt, you were saying it's very similar to Clark's in some ways. Troy Deeney gets across more, but his header just hits the post. He kind of tries to direct it into that far corner. Alex, if we had conceded then, I think we'd be talking about a very disheartening performance. But sometimes those are the fine margins that you kind of need in the Championship, right?
Yeah, it's a game of inches, right? If the ball hits the inside of the post and goes in, we're probably talking about a 2-1 loss and who's going to be the next manager of Reading FC. And the ball hits the, you know, the front of the post, bounces out, and we go on to win the game. It's a good chance for Birmingham. Like, Deeney does, you know, it's a very similar kind of chance to the way that Clark scored. He runs out in front of the defender at the near post and tries to head it across the goal. It's just that his header is further across. He tries to put it further across and into the far corner, and it's just not quite on target. That's really, though, I can't remember any other chances after we equalised that Birmingham had. I think that was the biggest one they had. And it felt like once we kind of weathered the storm for 5 minutes or so after the goal, Birmingham didn't really create too many opportunities after that.
Yeah, and I think what was nice in some ways was it was like watching Reading from last season, where okay, the home side are trying to push on to get a goal a little bit, but Reading don't necessarily look too bothered about it, like defensively cope quite well, and then they hit their, you know, opponents on the counter attack. Matt, do we think it was a foul in the build up for Yeardom, or are we disagreeing with Boya?
Lee Boya was always going to find an excuse for whatever the winner was, so yeah. It doesn't, like,
well personally I think it is on the edge of being a foul.
Yeah, but like going on to the Lee Boya thing, he also said, I think it was one game too many for his players when they've got, I think it's 5 or 6 out injured. When you look at the Reading team with our injury list, like, is this a game of top trumps, Lee? Like, come on. But no, I think it's one of those, like, say, it's on the edge. I think I'd be very frustrated if it is given a foul. But it's probably one, if it's given a foul, you could probably see why it's been given, because he's coming from the side. He wins the ball. There's no question about that. The question is, how much of the man has he taken before he's got the ball? You know, I think that's the big question. I think looking on Twitter, Birmingham fans were pretty 50-50 anyway on whether it was a foul, whether it wasn't. I saw quite a few saying that it was a perfectly good challenge. Loads saying it was a blatant foul. I think it's one of them. You know, again, I think the ref was letting a lot go yesterday, because there was a lot of rough and tumble that wasn't being penalised yesterday. Birmingham, they did get quite a few yellow cards, but there was a lot of physical play that the ref was letting go. So maybe that's why he let that challenge go, because there was a lot in the game which he probably could have blown up for both teams that he didn't.
Well, it's good that he did let it go, because Yeardom turned into prime Jimmy Kebbe, just absolutely breezing past everyone.
He could have won about 3 fouls as well, I think, on the way.
Yeah, it was... yeah, he could. He manages to pass it into John Swift, doesn't he? Who hits the goalkeeper and the ball falls to Jamari Clark. Alex, talk us through it from there.
So, yeah, Jamari Clark picks up the ball, what, 8 yards out after this rebound from the John Swift shot, and pretty much hits it with his left foot straight back at the keeper again. And he's tried to put it to the near post. The keeper's kind of stood on his near post, and he's Clark has tried to put it, well, he's tried to put it in the near post, and he's hit it straight at the keeper. I think there's a defender who, once the ball is rebounded again for the second time after the keeper makes the save, potentially could pick up the rebound, but the ball falls in. There is no better place it would have fallen for Clark than where it's fallen to him. As Clark kind of runs, he's running across the penalty area almost, and the ball kind of falls to him as he's running onto it. And he basically just toe pokes it home from 6 yards, 7 yards, and it's straight into the center of the goal. Keeper's got no chance because he's still recovering from the original shot. And the celebrations were fantastic, both from the fans and the players. It was awesome to see the reaction of the players. Like, they all just, you could see, if you watch the highlights, you can see the reaction of the players in the penalty area. They all just like jump up as soon as Clark puts the ball in the net, because I guess they can all tell how big of a goal it was. And yeah, the celebrations in the away end were kind of ballistic, really. Brilliant to be involved in.
Yeah, I guess that's also sort of the fine margins that we were talking about with Troy Deeney's chance, is just the fact that John Swift's shot, the rebound from that falls to Jamari Clark and not any of the 5 Birmingham City players around him. It could not have been more perfect with both chances. And okay, the first shot might not be great, and you could, I guess, criticise the goalkeeper a little bit for palming it back into harm's way, but at the end of the day, as we were saying earlier, as long as he scores, it doesn't really matter. And Matt, yeah, the scenes in the away end, the atmosphere, the whole kind of afternoon, maybe it was that extra half hour in the pub, really got people going. But it's just nice to be back in an atmosphere like that after maybe not having so much fun recently.
It was. And to be fair, all game, the atmosphere was pretty good, you know, singing constantly. It probably made up for the first 70 minutes, to be fair. It made the first 70 minutes quite a lot more bearable, to be fair. It was good fun. But I mean, when those 2 goals went in, I said to Alex at 1-0, I mean, there's going to be limbs in this end if it goes back to 1-1, and God knows what you can call what the goal at 2-1 was. But yeah, it was just a great day. Like you say, maybe it was the extra half an hour people or some people out at the pub that made everyone a bit more la-di-da and all that. But it certainly was a good day. It was a good day. It was good to be back. It was good to witness an away win, because I've missed Fulham away. I've done pretty much all the other shocking away days this season. But yeah, no, it was good to get a win.
I think one thing about Reading's away fans, certainly in the last 18 months, 2 years, if you haven't been to an away game for a few years, I would definitely encourage going, because they've changed a lot in the away ends. Reading's, yeah, traditionally, I would say 7, 8, 9 years ago, would be 90% people sitting down, and it would be very quiet in an away end. Now it's probably the other way around. I would say it's probably 70 or 80% people stood in the away end the entire time, and it's pretty much chanting for 90 minutes, whether we're in poor form or not. It's much more enjoyable to be in. And you know, full credit to the Reading fans who are traveling away from home, because it's a good atmosphere, and it makes for a much more enjoyable day out.
100%. And yes, I've been to a few away days this season. Obviously Fulham was pretty exciting. Birmingham was great. Coventry was good up until the end. We don't talk about the end of Coventry, but anyway, you know, and as you say, Alex, I think our away support has improved dramatically recently, and that we could talk about this for ages. I'm sure it goes a little bit back to Club 1871 and kind of the atmosphere they're trying to instill in the home games and kind of bringing that away. And it's just nice to see so many youngsters there. So many. Even some drinking in the pub when maybe they weren't supposed to be. But that's not yeah. Don't listen to me. Anyway, one final question I have for both of you. Let's assume that nobody is back because I have absolutely no idea what Reading's injury front is. Does Jamari Clark start next game? I'm assuming he has to, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be a resounding yes, isn't it, Alex?
I can't see a way that Puskas starts the next game if no one else comes back.
Yeah, what if Hoyler and Halilovic are back? Does Clark still start then?
I think so.
You've thrown too many variables and I can't work it out in my head.
It's a tough one.
I will say if Hoyler comes back and is fully fit, then I think Hoyler would start ahead of Clark, but Clark would come on ahead of Puskas.
Yes. I think I agree with you there. Although I think you do have to man manage Puskas a little bit. You have to be a little bit careful that he's going to get some game time because, well, yeah, I guess you might not have to. He's still here for another year, right? Puskas's contract doesn't expire till
2023.
Yeah, God, years are so difficult nowadays, aren't they?
I think you do and you don't, right? I think you're going to end up potentially with a situation a little bit like Sam Baldock, where actually everybody's aware that you're not going to get that much game time and your contract is pretty much just going to be, it's almost going to be a case of like running your contract out to the end and then leaving on a free, and the club are aware of it, the players aware of it, and it's just kind of an unspoken thing. We could get to a situation with Puskas where that is the situation.
He's actually in contract until 2024 as well. He's on a 5-year contract, yeah, when he joined. So the thought of having a second Sam Baldock on the team, Alex, that's kind of put a downer on the end of this podcast, I have to say.
well, can I try and bring the mood back up? Because I had actually thought that I'd made this up because I tried watching the highlights and didn't see it. But Liam Moore actually made up for his earlier mistake with an incredible goal line header clearance thing that I still don't know how he did. Did you two see this? No, exactly, because it's not in the normal highlights. But this is where, like, I don't want people to pile on Liam Moore because of the early thing, because actually when you go and watch the other thing, it's unbelievably good, and I still don't understand it. Like, the ball was passed southward and he still somehow flips it.
Gonna have to hunt that out. I don't remember it.
Yeah, well, yeah. I honestly thought I'd made it up because I thought I was thinking of the Deeney chance where I thought he'd put it onto his own post, but Jordan reliably informs me that I haven't and that it actually happened. So I just wanted to put that out there because we like to be balanced on this podcast. We're not the BBC, but obviously all views are welcome. We're all happier now going into the international break, I think, obviously off the back of a win. What do Reading have to do coming back from that to save Paunovic's job, I guess? Like, we're not expecting to go away and win every match from this point. What level does Paunovic have to be at that Reading fans are happy, that the owners are happy, and that, you know, that we can be safe this season, Matt? Like, what level should we expect from this point, I guess, is my question.
Well, I think just to go back one question, I think what he needs to do is get a few players back from injury. I mean, I know we've said that since eternity, seemingly, this season, but that can't be understated, you know, how much of an impact that's probably had on Paunovic's selections, his tactics, and obviously his fortunes. I mean, that's probably going to have a big bearing on expectations between the end of the international break and Christmas, I'd say. Because if you've not got any players back, it's been a really hard one with Paunovic because you can't really tell if he's done a good job or a bad job because he's not had anything really to use. He's had nothing at his disposal. I know we keep saying it, but it's this never-ending kind of run really that we're on right now with injuries, just get some players back. And then if you can start getting some players back, I know he commented on having a few coming back in his post-match interview, that will give him some options. Then you could maybe look at trying to get a run together. Otherwise you're just hoping, I think, or I kind of am hoping for results.
Alex, like, yeah, are we still at a stage where we're avoiding relegation more than trying to climb up the table?
I think the easy way to look at it is, are we 10 to 12 points ahead of whoever's in 22nd place? And if we are, then I don't really see a reason that Paunovic is going to go. And as much as I would love to say, yeah, we're going to look up the table, it's very difficult to, because you know that we're going to lose some points at some point this season. And the table is very, very tight. That is one kind of, I guess, positive for us. We're only 4 points off of QPR in sixth place. So despite the fact that we've, you know, had a pretty awful run for the last 5 weeks or so, and people have asked for Paunovic to go and that he's clueless, and, you know, we are only 4 points off of sixth place. So it's a difficult one to kind of judge as to where we're going to be in a month's time, because the league is so tight and Reading are so, I guess, unpredictable with results, perhaps, maybe not style of play.
Reading are streaky, aren't they? That is what we were saying before. And like, I don't know how the streak works. If we win and then there's an international break, that could completely change things for Reading. But
Paunovic has never tried that theory before, really, has he?
Yeah, well, yeah. Just international breaks are where we tend to change things. But anyway, let's hope we have some players back for after the break. During the break, we'll have our normal kind of monthly review pod, which is going to be interesting for December when there is no international break, but we'll leave that for then. Enjoy going into the international break on the back of a win. Thanks very much, Matt. Thanks very much, Alex. And have a good fortnight, everyone.